Well, good morning, and welcome back to the God School. This is a unique, I'm not going to say in the sense of the only, but this is a unique ministry in the sense that we are always endeavoring to put forth the truth about God and about Jesus Christ from God's Word, and not mixing it with the traditions of men, and the purpose is that when you hear, or when I hear, the Word of God, that faith might come. So, this week, I have to tell you, I was struggling to find the word that I might bring this morning. I have been captured for several days with some of the words, really with all the word of the 17th chapter of John, which is the true Lord's Prayer. That is the prayer that Jesus did pray, not that which we call the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, because Jesus never prayed that prayer, because in it it says, "Forgive us our sins." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never sinned. That's why he had the price, which was a perfect life, the price of our redemption, which he paid. So, as Jesus is praying, he says in the second verse, "As you have given him," that is speaking of himself, "power over all flesh, that he," that is Jesus, "should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." So we encounter this word given three times in this one verse. As thou, the Father, hast given him, that is, that which is God's possession to give. What possession? Power. God has given Jesus power over all flesh, that he speaking in the third person of himself, that Jesus should give eternal life to as many as you, that is the Father, have given him. That is another, the as many, that's speaking of the possession of God, which he gave to Jesus, that he should give eternal life to as many as God has given to Jesus. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, Father, Jesus speaking, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Folks, my hesitation is, it's important what's about to come. It is so opposite much of the teaching in that which is called the church today. Excuse me. What's the purpose of God in this whole book, cover to cover? It is speaking of eternal life. That's not to the exclusion of God's care for us while we are on this journey of faith in the flesh. Did I say that right? That, yes, I think I did. That God's purpose is to bring us to eternal life. He does care for us while we are in this body of the flesh. That's not to say that the flesh is the dominant object of God's concern but it is eternal life that God has purposed, as we said last week, out of Isaiah. Let me give the exact piece. Thou art my people, God says in Isaiah 51:16. Those are the same to whom God has given to Jesus Christ, and to whom the purpose of Jesus Christ is to give eternal life to them. Jesus goes on in the 16th verse of this 17th chapter to say of those whom the Father has given to him, whom God calls my people, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, that is, separate them through your truth. Your word is true. Now, this prayer is recorded therefore, there were some that heard it. That was his disciples. He prayed this in the garden. Just prior. To his going to the cross, just prior to him paying the full price for our redemption. And so those who were in earshot listened to this. And in the 20th verse, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. But for them which shall faith, pisteos, on me through their word. And I'm attempting always to deliver the word of God, which Jesus said is the truth, that all you who hear might faith on the Lord through the word delivered here. I know. That's the job of the pastor, of the teacher, to edify God's people, to edify those that the Lord, of whom the Lord says, my people. So, in that, in hearing and going through those words of Jesus, that this is life eternal, that a man may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, and he goes on to say, thy word is truth. I want to go now to some portion of the word. As I said earlier, God purpose in Christ Jesus is to give eternal life to his people. And he gave us instructions and revelation that we might, in on our journey toward eternal life, to help us along the way . I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 37. This, I was taught and have come to understand, is a foundational message to God's people. It acts, if you will, as a compass point while we are on this journey toward eternal life in Jesus Christ. And this 37th Psalm, I'm not going to go verse by verse this morning. It's always good. I know some of you have been with me as over these years we have taught, usually at least once a year. It's good to go over it. Wait until, listen to the message today and go back through it on your own time. In verses 1 and 7 and 8, it says, "Fret not." Fret not. Fret not. When God says something more than once, we should pay attention. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Given the time we're in, where we have, you know, 24-hour-a-day news channels reporting to us about the evil in the Middle East, about the evil of this and the evil of that, and constantly hearing about evildoers and workers of iniquity, one might draw the conclusion there's no hope for this world. But God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And he begins to give us a remedy to put away fretting for that which we are constantly inundated with, particularly over the television, over internet. There's not too much good news going on there. And God is aware, as we will see. And he tells us, or gives us, a way to put fretting behind. Does that mean that we'll put fretting behind forever? Not in this life. I want to tell you right now, the reason you're getting this message is I need it. You just happen to be the beneficiaries of me preaching to myself. And God says four things. He says, trust in the Lord. That's the first thing. The word in the Hebrew is batach, and it means, as you've heard so often, to lean upon with your whole weight upon God. Well, etymologically, to lean on a staff. But God draws this word out and he says, lean with your whole weight upon me. He says, delight thyself in the Lord. Now, this is a promise taken out of context. In every promise book or promise box that many followers keep, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And again, folks, putting this in the context of the words of Jesus in John 17, we're talking of eternal life. We're not talking about the desires, oh, Father, I'd rather be driving a Mercedes than this old 4Runner. Or I'd rather be eating steak than mac and cheese. Or those other things of the world, those things of the flesh. What God is saying here is, when you make God the delight of your life, He will give you the desires of your heart. Number 3, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. What is it you're fretting about? What was it I was fretting about? Well, I don't need to know what it was you were fretting about. And quite frankly, you don't need to know what it was that I was fretting about. But God says, whatever you're fretting about, commit it unto the Lord. This is a word that comes out of the old camel train practices of the Middle East, where a purveyor of goods would walk with his goods on his back and roll them off onto the back of his camel that it might bear its burden. His burden. Roll it off on God. Whatever it is that you're fretting about, trust also in Him. Keep leaning upon God. King James says at the end of that verse 5, and He shall bring it to pass literally means trust also in Him. For the Lord knoweth or worketh. Verse 18 in this same wonderful psalm says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Psalm 55:22 says, just kind of a repeat of this fifth verse. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God. Our cares are God's constant concern. Commit it. Roll it off of your back. Get it out of your head. Quit leaving that which is causing you to fret between you and God. Roll it off to God. Verse 7 is the fourth part of the instruction of God to us as to how to eliminate fretting. It says, rest in the Lord. King James says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Folks, you know, the word is enduringly. We are on this journey. And we're on this journey of faith, which is on the way to eternal life in Christ Jesus. And it's a journey of faith, and there are troubles and trials and tribulations on this journey, and we are to endure this journey. Because that which we have committed unto the Lord, that which we are trusting in the Lord to bring it to pass, to work, because He knows, is done with endurance, because our faith is being tried. And as we said last week from the Apostle Peter, that the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold, because it shall bring us that gift of faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, shall bring us into eternal life with God and Jesus Christ. So God tells us, if you're fretting, and I'm grateful because I'm talking to you this morning. I was fretting. I wasn't going to have anything to say to you this morning, to be quite frank with you. Now I've told you what I was fretting about. God says, trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Cause God to be. Put your focus back on God. And make Him your desire. And commit your way. Roll it off onto God. Unto the Lord. Continue trusting. And rest. And wait. Enduringly. And then God tells us in the rest of this psalm, those things that He will do, or what His response is to those who are trusting and delighting and committing their way and resting in Him and waiting enduringly for Him. It says, in the 17th verse, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Oh, Don, you had me going there. But, you know, how can I expect that the Lord's going to hold me up when it says the Lord upholdeth the righteous? Those of you who have been with the God School for a while, you know who the righteous are. those of you who might be hearing for the first time, some teaching here. Three times in Romans 1:17, in Galatians 3:11, in Hebrews 10:38, properly translated, it says, the righteous by faith shall live. We who are trusting and delighting and committing our way and resting in the knowledge that the Lord is working, that's faith. And God says of those people, He gives righteousness. Not just righteousness, His righteousness. That's the righteous. And therefore, we can have confidence and hope, as it does say in the 17th verse, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright. He knows what each and every one of us, what our days are like. God knows. I like the 19th verse. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. So the Lord upholds, verse 17, He upholds with knowledge, verse 18. Verse 5 tells us the Lord works or knows or orders or will bring it to pass. Verse 23 says the steps of a man, and we're talking about the righteous, we're talking about the upright, the ones who are trusting and delighting and have committed their way unto the Lord. The steps of that man are ordered. God knows right where you and I are this very moment. He tells us in the New Testament that the numbers of the hairs of our head, that the hairs of our head are even numbered. He knows a whole lot more than I do, or you do. Verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. And we have taught at other times of another compass point message, if you will, a time to seeking direction. It says in Deuteronomy 33 that underneath all are the everlasting arms. I don't care what your condition is. I don't care how low you may have fallen. If you're trusting and delighting yourself and committing yourself and waiting enduringly for the Lord, it says, he shall not be utterly cast down. That in that Deuteronomy 33, it says underneath all. That means beneath bottomless are the everlasting arms of God. He upholds with his hand. I hope those of you who listened to the last message are relating. David says, I have been young, and now I am old. I can kind of relate to that. Not kind of, I can relate to that. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. 28 says, the Lord forsakes not his saints. Verse 32 says, the wicked watch the righteous and seeketh to slay him, that may manifest itself in flesh and blood. But I want to tell you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against wicked spirits in high places. And they are constantly looking for an opening to come in and to shake our faith and remove our faith from us. But God says, he will not leave him in his hand. Nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Last week in Isaiah, in the 51, in the 51st chapter, that first verse, it says, hearken to me. Run to the voice of the sayer, ye that follow after. righteousness. True Christianity are followers of Christ. He's the first goer. He said, I don't want to misquote. I should have it memorized, but, you know, I haven't met a perfect one yet. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. Keep his way. Jesus is the way. And the way we keep his way is to continue to trust, to lean upon him, to commit, to roll off our burdens onto him. Folks, Jesus Christ the Son of God it says in the first chapter of John, that no man has seen God, but Christ has declared him. That means he has removed God from behind a curtain and put him on display. And to those of us who are trusting God, it says in the 37th verse, mark the perfect and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Jesus took care of all that separated us from God. That was our sins. And he took care of it all. And God, what is being said here is, through and in Jesus Christ, God is not against us anymore. Oh, thy word is truth. verse 39 says, but the salvation of the righteous, we've already defined who the righteous are, is of the Lord. Their strength in time of trouble. Jesus said just prior to giving us his prayer in John 17, John 16, 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. You shall have trouble. But be of good courage. I, Jesus speaking, have overcome the world. And David ends this wonderful psalm saying, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked. We're not home yet, folks. But as we continue to hearken diligently unto God's word, of which Jesus said, his word is the truth. We have this earnest expectation, this hope in Christ Jesus, because it says, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. The meaning is to be brought into eternal life with God the Father in Christ Jesus. And who's he going to do this to? Or why is he going to do this? Because they trust in him. Neither pray I for these alone, those 11 disciples, but for them also which shall faith on me through their word. My hope today is that through God's word, your faith may have been increased a little. And that we together shall continue on this journey, trusting in the Word of God, which is the truth. And that's the God School for today.